the Public Works and Capital Projects Committee. This is the first meeting for this year, and I'd like to welcome, we have a new committee member and a new legislator, Kathy Nolan. Welcome aboard, Kathy. Any questions along the way, feel free to ask. I just want to go over a couple of things. That the way I do my meetings is, being this is capital projects and public works, I feel that this committee is a very non-political committee. I feel that the main function for this committee is to try the best of our ability to give the resources that the highway commissioner needs to maintain our roads, keep our bridges safe with very little problem, very little delay. I try to run a peaceful and orderly meeting. I don't like when people are disrespectful. You get one warning, and the next morning, gone. We treat each other with respect here, and that's the way I like to do it and move things along. With that said, we have, well, why don't you guys introduce yourself to Kathy?
Okay. I'm Tom Jackson. I'm the commissioner of the Buffalo County Department of Public Works. And she's deputy commissioner of public works for city management.
I'm Joe Whitaker, field operations manager for highway.
And this is a newly elected legislator from Saugerties, Joseph Maloney, who's here tonight to speak on a resolution that he sponsored. Alrighty, so with that said, has everybody gotten a chance to look over the minutes from last month's meeting? Is there any questions or comments or additions or deletions or anything?
I move we adopt.
Alright, motion made by Legislator Green.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Legislator List to adopt the minutes as written. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so with that said, I think, Kathy, because this is your first meeting, any questions you have along the way, so just feel free to ask, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
You've been here before.
That's your first trip. It's been away from here.
Okay, with that said, we'll move into resolution. Resolution number 24, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of taxpayer funds to place the likeness or name of an elected official on county signs and properties. Legislator Joe Maloney, I believe that you put this forward.
That was amended. The signage is all out.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that. That was far, there was far more to discuss there about what it affected, and there was concerns.
Right.
I really did try to address those the way it was written, but there's no doubt we need more time to make everybody comfortable before they vote yes or no on that.
Right.
The other part of it was far more straightforward and had a lot more of positive feedback as far as legislators being comfortable letting this go to the floor. And, and it just has to do with public service announcements, commercials, radio, TV, paper, whether they're donated, whether they're paid for by the taxpayer, which may more, whether they're grant, which is still tax dollars. You're going to be able to mention Dr. Phil Smith, she's appointed, just no elected officials.
Right.
Whether it's us, whether it's exec, whether the sheriff. I talked to a couple people about it. I spoke to the sheriff. Everybody that I had spoken to was fairly comfortable, very comfortable with it. And it makes a lot of sense. They've done this in a couple of counties already by executive order, so execs are coming in and doing this themselves.
Okay.
Just to me and to most of the people I've talked to, as far as my constituents go, most of the legislators I've talked to, feel as though it just really makes sense that the commercials that mention elected officials' names are meant to be paid for by campaign funds and not by the taxpayer. That's really all it does.
I totally agree.
Is change that, and I think within 5 to 10 years, almost every county in New York will have this.
Yes.
That will be the third, fourth, or fifth. I hope.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Legislator List.
Resolution 24, is this the amended version?
It looks like the amended version of the one on the back does.
There is no back.
Oh, no, this does look like the amended version.
I'm going to make a suggestion that you also amend the title, because the title says it's permanent likenesses on county signs and property, and what you've taken out no longer applies, it no longer applies to county.
Well, definitely, unless this is a misprint, do you know anything about that? Why it still states that? I would assume that there's a change too, but that's probably a pretty easy fix. Before it gets brought to the floor, I'll make sure it does not mention signs.
Well, I think it should be, I mean, you are here and you are the sponsor, so I think it should be amended here prior to us voting on it.
Oh, let's amend it. Yeah.
Okay. How would you like to word the resolution title?
I'd have to get Nick Pascali's opinion as far as what would be pretty basic, just to say PSAs, all public service announcements, whether it states the kinds of ads they're going to be, whether it's online, paper, radio, or TV. Will not be prohibited to mention an elected official name.
So I guess what you're looking for then is establish a policy to prohibit the use of taxpayers' funds to name, because it wouldn't be a likeness, right? Well, maybe it is likeness. Place a likeness or name of elected officials on public service announcement, non-commercial, and non-political advertising. Would that seem correct to you?
Yes, it would.
All right. If you want to make that amendment, because the title of the resolution does not
agree. I agree. I didn't expect this to the title not to be addressed by the time I got here.
So on elected officials on PSA, non-commercial and non.
Political advertising.
Okay, so we need a motion as to pass the amendment.
That would be correct. And I'll make a motion to pass the amendment.
Motion made by Legislator Litz.
Can I have some discussion?
Yeah.
So I think if we get a second, and then have some.
Go ahead.
Well, I just feel that this resolution is overly broad, that there might be instances in which having an elected official.
I believe
it,
I don't mean to interrupt, but we have to vote on the amended.
Right. Yeah. Well, sorry, let me get to that. So I believe that the resolution is overly broad, and the fact that we don't have a title that is specific yet, it just seems like it's a bit of a rush. So I'd rather not amend and do this in committee. I'd rather have this looked at in terms of what exactly we catch with the language of the resolution and the language of the title.
So are you asking to postpone this?
I'm asking to postpone it and let the legislator consult with an attorney about the title and also consult with what actually gets caught by this and give us a chance to look at examples that might come up where we might want an elected official to have
I'm ready to second the motion on the amendment as written here tonight.
Okay, so if you have a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Is this on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
I'm going to vote no, but I want to just be really...
Yeah, are you a yes or a no?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to be really clear that it does feel rushed. I just heard about it last night. I haven't had a chance to think through all the implications, and I think it's a really bad precedent to rush legislation. This is the first legislation, first round of legislation this year. I haven't heard, what laws and rules thinks, what attorneys think, et cetera.
Is it referred to laws and rules? Because that was another question. It is.
It's economic development at DPW. The only reason it's in DPW was
because of the sign.
It's not even in there anymore. Technically, we would have just done the PSA part. We this would be going to the floor already. I will say this, that this is pretty straightforward. This is just, hey, look, if we're paying for an advertisement, no public official's name will be in it. If it does, of course, if it was a state of emergency, something like that, that's all written in. This is basic. This has been done around other counties. There's really not anything to it. I am never comfortable with my constituents and my tax dollars paying for an elected official's name in a commercial.
This county runs rampant.
And
you know, I mean, I don't want him to go into the vending machine someday and get a product out of there and his name is on it or any elected official's name is on it.
I think having a policy that addresses this is a good idea. I just don't think that I've seen in this a really careful analysis of what would be caught and what wouldn't to make sure we don't exclude something that could be useful. We do have some legislators who do have skills in certain areas, and we have a legislator who's uses a wheelchair. We're doing a public service announcement about ADA compliance. I could see that we might want to go to an elected official who has a background or experience in that. So I'm sympathetic to the overall aim. I'm just not sure that this is neatly tailored to catch what we're trying to catch.
Just to be on the record, as nice as that sounds, I wouldn't be comfortable with it. Even in a scenario like that, if we had a legislator that was an ex-professional baseball player and we were running something for the local high school, PSA, no, never, never. It's tax dollars. It's not what it was meant to be.
Okay, on the resolution.
On the amendment?
On the amendment is passed. Yeah, on the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Motion made.
As amended.
As amended. Legislator Lips, do I hear a second?
Seconded
by Legislator Roberts. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
I'm going to vote no again for the same reason. I think there's a lot of merit.
Carries.
But I think it's really rushed.
Oh, it needs to be amended because the title needs to match with the resolution.
Yeah, I'm going
to
offer.
And it might not hurt to talk with counsel, too.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And I would suggest anything that comes out that I bring to the court so that everybody else will already know that.
So that's what's going on. Resolution number 27, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Cone Incorporated Department of Public Works. All right, this is for elevator repair.
Tom?
Yes.
All right, for $108,000
at various locations.
At various locations between September 1st and...
This is to extend for a third year
mm-hmm.
the contract.
Okay.
$108,000
applies. Any discussion?
I'll move it.
Okay, move to discussion?
No.
I'll move to
the
All right. So, motion made by Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 28, approving the execution of a contract amending in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Atlantic Pavement Marking Incorporated, Department of Public Works. Tom, are pavement marking some roads?
Sure.
Is this an extension of last year's
contract? This is the first time
right.
Extension there. They've been a contractor with Ulster County for, I think this would be the start of the sixth year. We have yellow lines on the road, so mm-hmm. we need to be paid for the year.
Right.
And, of course, the white, we put it out the ditch, and mm-hmm. we're able to extend it, so instead of
four. These guys are on the OGS bid list, right?
I think they said Seconded by Legislator Nolan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 29, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, town, and county bridge and rail incorporated Department of Public Works. This is for some guardrail repair.
Yeah, we have a guardrail crew that does some of the guardrail work.
Right.
Last year we were able to get a very expensive rail job on Lucas Avenue and the East Shoulders. They did a nice job there. They were able to complete a project rail across the handle with the guardrail.
Looking at extended contracts. Okay.
Manager, you had a question? Yeah, is it anywhere in the county or is it?
Yes, it's a designated area that's picked by the commissioner. So if there's a need in a road that's in Shangum or if it's in Kobe, they go wherever we need.
And this ship chosen actually by the condition, the worst.
Right.
It's first. Damaged rail.
It's
an ongoing
effort. It's an ongoing.
We deal with it all the time.
It's a never-ending battle.
Yeah.
And you just, in terms of planning, you just prioritize whatever you already know needs to be repaired or reset.
And we also do, we did action reports and we did action repairs and stuff like that.
Yep. So you're sometimes your constituents prioritize where you need to.
So it's just, if the rail is damaging, we actually do regroup some of that money from the action report and stuff like that also.
Great. Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to move. Okay. Motion made by Legislator List, seconded by Legislator Nolan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 30, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County, Town, and County Bridge and Rail Incorporated Department of Public Works. Now, why wasn't this all in one resolution?
Different work products.
Different work products. Okay. Oh, okay.
So we have a
question. Oh, I see that there, right.
Needs to be fixed.
Okay.
Sometimes we're able to, instead of ripping the road all up, we're able to hire these guys to come in and shoot the inside of the pipe concrete, stabilize it.
It just happens to be a different
company, right? Correct.
Oh, okay. Different bed.
Same company, but a different product. Definitely. And another rollover.
Yeah. Motion made by Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. There's the income of the one, all right? That's the area of the risk.
It's the risk.
Resolution number 31, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Ashley Mechanical Incorporated Department of Public Works. Okay, this is a replacement of the cooling tower at the Ulster County Courthouse. 20% county, 4 month deal, $167,000 appropriated dollars.
So I just have a question.
Yes.
Is this going to be a repair on a building that we're not going to be using? Is it?
No, this is the courthouse.
The courthouse, not family court.
Not family court.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The existing unit is applied to a lot of money into repairing it, but it doesn't get it very far. And it's undersized for the building. And I'm told we're racing the clock on this one because the courthouse heats up pretty quickly.
Really?
Spring.
Wow.
Yeah. No, so it is time of year.
Not too bad.
And the repair will right-size it and cover all of
Yeah, that's all, been engineered, but it is a completely new unit. This is not a repair.
Oh.
It's a replacement.
I'll move. Okay. Motion made by Legislator Licks. Seconded by Legislator Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion passes. I got to get my name on something today. Feel left out.
This next one, I'm not sure about.
Can I get rid of my back? Okay, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to a lease agreement with the Town of Warwick for a substation of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office Department of Public Works Buildings and Grounds. It's a pretty good deal. That's looking for $312 a year. And we definitely go around a place for that.
And that's the increase, right?
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
You know, it really is a good situation when your rate goes to $312 a year, and that's a 312% increase, or an uncalculatable increase.
Resolution number 51, authorizing acquisition of real property located at 2-4 South Shattucky Lake Road in the town of Lloyd, County of Ulster, in New Paltz Road and South Shattucky Lake Road, and authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute on behalf of the Ulster County and all documents required for said acquisition, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
I will move that.
All right.
I will second.
All righty. And I have a note here to add Herb Lips as a sponsor.
It's already on there.
It's already on there. So a motion made by Herb Lips, seconded by Manager Joe Green.
And this will replace, I don't know if you remember, like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
He asked to put in a capital project to realign the roads for sight distance in that intersection.
I think, yes. Okay.
So by buying and taking down the house, I guess we'll no longer need that
capital project. Right? So this makes everybody's life a whole lot easier. Right, so,
and there's no eminent domain. This is an agreeable.
No. This is, it went up for county taxes.
Oh,
so rather than
sell
it
at auction, they're going to keep it and turn it actually a bankable. Right. So, we have this program as a capital project for road alignment of the Paltz Road because of that site distance issue with the house. And we have a program of $350,000. We started to get estimates that were looking at, it was looking more like $450,000 to the road deal, realignment over a long enough stretch of the road. So we found out that the foreclosed on and the Mason Valley Federal Credit Union was the current owner, and they had intentions. I called the bank, and they said that they had intentions of marking it. So I asked them if they would be interested in talking with the county. Went out with Joe and his crew, one of his crew, and while we were staying there, the bank official let us clear all the trees and bushes.
That really helped.
Right? And but we have, if they were to go to sell some of the private property, we wouldn't be able to have access to do that again.
Right.
That was a band-aid.
Mm-hmm.
Fix. So they went in, I went and looked at the house. It's the bank officials said this looked like tear down. It really, it really is in very sad condition, and it's right jammed up against two roads.
And you were pointing out all the defects.
So I was counting on all the better answers. I can't tell you that. I happen to be a real estate broker today. But we ended up making an offer of 50. That's subject to our the agreement of purchase, subject to an appraisal. And the ultimate plan is to raise the building. We have a rough estimate for that. We'll probably have about $100,000 invested in the property once it's all raised and leveled. And then the town of Floyd, the supervisor agreed that the town would be willing to be the recipient of title. They would then use it for overflow parking for the rail trail.
Right.
So it's really a nice win-win. Yeah. And they don't have to. Right. It saves about $350,000.
Wow. And you know, I didn't realize how close Senator Hutchins' pole was to the county highway until you removed those bushes. it's right there.
Yeah, you can see the pole through the bushes.
And the rail trail there is the Hudson Valley Rail Trail?
Yes, yes.
Three
You know where the caboose is?
Yes, I certainly do.
it's almost across the street from that.
So all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Good solution.
Resolution number 52. Establishing capital project number 517, purchase of county fleet vehicles, Department of Public Works, essential garage. If you look at the very last sheet, that's what they want to purchase. DSS has two vehicles, probation has two, the sheriff's office for a total of $717,000. Gives you the reason on the back. You have the page,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, tells you why they're getting rid of the vehicle there. Most of them are all high mileages or 15 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'll move it.
All right. Motion made by Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Before we vote.
Yeah.
Just a Ford Fusion Hybrid. It's 10 years old and has high mileage?
No, that's the vehicle. It replaces
it. It's replacing one. Got it.
Yeah. Impala, that's the two things.
Replaces. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
All right, so this is adding to our hybrid fleet, or this is more credit towards our fleet policy. Okay, thank you. I confuse easily.
This is my favorite resolution. I look like I'm happy with this. I'll move 54. I do it myself.
Resolution number 54, establishing capital project number 518, purchase of highway equipment, Department of Public Works, highways and bridges. Once again, this is a five-year plan we do. Every year the new vehicles come up that we're going to get. If you see on the back, that's what we're getting. For a total of $2,424,000. The list is there.
I move.
Okay. Motion made by Legislator Litz.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Anybody have any old business that they would like to discuss tonight?
I got a couple of things, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind.
Yes, Legislator Roberts, go right ahead.
First, I'd like to thank you. I don't know if I ever did publicly for all the help you gave us when they closed down the bridge in Platte.
It was a pleasure.
Last year, and Public Works was out too. But they finished on time, sort of, by the deadline, December 22nd, to open. My understanding, they plan on shutting the bridge down again for a week. March 26th, the week that school is out. It's unacceptable to us down there. You guys can take some phone calls and see if they can do something the way that your contractor, other than shut the bridge down completely, keep one lane open. You know, it's Yeah. Went through an uptown area. Yeah. I'd like to see it. Our business has lost a lot of money. Not recouped it yet. My other business, as I'm sure you're aware of, is a mailbox that got knocked down on Fossil Road. And I guess it's county policy that if a snowplow knocks over a mailbox, they give them a check for $25. Which I didn't know that. I would assume that they'd send it to blow over and put the mailbox back up. But I checked online. You can't buy a mailbox for $25. If you're elderly or handicapped, you're going to have to hire somebody to put up the mailbox. So you're looking probably at, you know, minimum $125, $150 to get, you know, a mailbox as a fair compensation. Either make it, hey, accidents happen, you're not getting nothing, or be fair with these people. So that's just, you know, my two cents. Maybe the committee would like to discuss that a little bit further at a certain point.
Well, what I have learned, first of all, about the $25, that is the first time I'm hearing that as far as the county policy. But what I have learned from the county, like the state, versus local towns and villages. Local towns and villages, for some reason, like in my town, we damage a mailbox. The next business day, we're there putting a new one up, putting a new bit. They get a basic federal government required, whatever they got to have, size and everything, height and all that. For some reason, the county, I don't know, I just went through it with a, I don't want to get into names, fender bender car accident with, they just, their policies are, it's like they're protected from doing any of that, repairing, like in the county now, in the snowstorm, if a county truck hits a vehicle, they are not liable. And we just had an issue where the truck wasn't even plowing. The car was parked, the truck wasn't even plowing, went by, swerved and missed a vehicle that was coming on, hit this car, nothing. They don't do anything. I don't know why they're not liable for mailboxes. I don't know if they're protected by law or the insurance for them doesn't pay out. I don't know. But in the 6 years that I've been on this committee, I have yet to collect a penny from the county on any damage that's been done where I felt the county was a little liable for to come up and help with the situation. So I've had, me personally, I don't know what to tell you.
It is county policy, which I got several emails that it says county policy is $25.
Okay, see, I've never seen one of those.
You know, we've got the policy, so do we want to keep it at 25? I'd like to, you know, get an opinion from the exec's office on that.
Yeah, so as you know, we don't set policy, we carry out policy, but we do send, when we get a complaint on a mailbox, we talk to the individual, we send somebody out, usually the second supervisor, to talk to, look at the situation, verify that the mailbox is damaged, look at the location of the mailbox, and then you know, those parties that I got involved with talking to, including the gentleman on Positive Road, I tried to respectfully recommend that he move the mailbox further off of the white line, because typically when a plow hits a mailbox, it's located too close to the line.
I understand that.
Right. So that's sometimes what happens. Then they're advised to contact the county insurance department. County insurance department receives a written request from them, forwards it to the county executive's office, and the $25 check is authorized unless they fail to move the box to the recommended location, and it continues to happen over and over again.
The insurance company then does send a written thing to the
insurance, yeah.
Right, to the executive's office,
right.
And he has to give final authorization.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times a year are we talking about? Is it a dozen incidents? Is it more than 100?
It all depends on the wind.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the snow takes down a lot of
And most people,
it's just really, which is true, that is right. The weight of the snow flying off the plow will not get down.
Technically, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure, and I weigh it all, that, you know, the municipality is not liable for the mailbox. any municipality that replaces the mailbox, that they do it as a courtesy?
Courtesy, that's correct.
And I'm trying to get a sense of what would be a reasonable policy. We like to be courteous, but if we're dealing with hundreds of bees a year and most of them are...
I haven't heard of 100 of them. No, there's near 100 of them, maybe 25 I've heard about throughout the year. And you got to remember, you have 46 trucks out there plowing 24 miles of road of keys, you know, roughly.
We're going to do an easy job. So, and there's, you know, thank God for you guys out there every day keeping our roads open when it does storm.
But it does happen.
Yeah. And, you know, most people, you know, we go back and forth. Most people get their mailbox knocked over and say, hey, you know, that happens. But, you know, it's, like you said, Tom. Yeah, most people, you know, this guy happened four times. His mailbox might be a little closer than, you know, but it seems like a kind of a convoluted process where there's too many steps involved to get a lousy $25.
I would think I agree with you. I would think if there is a process, then county exec could give you the exact number because they process.
Well, insurance complaints come in through different sources. They come in through dispatch. Some complaints come in through a legislator. Some they call my office.
Right.
Some they just notify insurance.
But in order to cut a check, it has to go through their office, so they should know how many checks they
have to give self-insurance to go.
Right. So they must know how many authorizations they made.
And I would lean in favor of a policy that would say that if they will let the county put the mailbox in the place that the county and DPW thinks is a safe place for the mailbox, it will cover the cost of that. But if they want to put it back up in the same spot, then we send them the $25 check.
And that way... drive around to his.
I think
that's what you are done. You hit it, you go fix it.
30 years ago, we used to do it as a courtesy, you know, time to go on. And we did the same. You know, we would be saying, you know, you hit it, you go get it. And you go, you know, of course you couldn't send them out there by the traffic and everything.
Right.
Yeah, the driver went, you know, and some mailboxes were unavoidable.
Right.
So, I mean, I had one on South Putt, and I happened to answer the phone when the lady called. You know, she was right after me. I mean, it was, you know, pretty intense the way she was yelling and screaming at me, you know. And it's like, you know, first of all, you got the right person, and if you calm down, we can talk about this. I'll tell you what happened, you know. So it does happen, and I wouldn't be able to really, you know, guess on how many times. Because not all of them make the county exec's office either, you know what I mean? So,
Well, if it is not too burdensome in terms of workload, and it's not too expensive, then replacing them...
It does get expensive because, you know, you wind up with the post that's 30 years old, it's rotten. You know what I mean? The snow goes by, the post not stopping, you know what I mean? They'll last forever, you know. So that does happen a lot, you know what I mean?
I agree.
And in the mailboxes, you know, we use to just get the cheapest ones and put them off. But
regarding the law, in the county right-of-way, it's a courtesy that the county allows mailboxes
to be put up to start with.
Right. So that's why there's not an obligation to fix it on the law.
Right.
The truck example you were giving is because the truck, while it's plowing snow, is engaged in a hazardous duty. And while a county vehicle is involved with a hazardous duty, it's held to a different standard of law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, since then, it's over with. However, we resolved, I don't know how it ended up, but I know there for a couple of days it was a complete rigmarole.
We want to try to gather some more information. And
we could. What do you want to do, Kevin?
I think so. You know, like $25 is almost insulting.
Right.
You know, if we're going to give somebody, I'd rather say we don't. It's not our policy to give you a dime. You know, you don't get nothing. Or let's be fair about it. You know, you said it's probably going to cost $125 to get your mailbox replaced. And you know, so. Maybe you got $25 worth 15 years ago,
right?
Not today.
I know a lot of times we do get accused of taking down mailboxes that don't take down.
That's why we send somebody, you know, right, like a car goes off the edge of the road and you get you to track to the car, yeah. You know what I mean, stuff like that, or, and we try to, we, they call us, they try to put the blame on us, that's why we always send a representative to the mailbox to confirm if we hit the mailbox. Yeah, can your staff, um, uh, give a report on the road, um, if they hit one, so that you get a
A lot of times, if you take out a mailbox, you don't know it. It'll still be there. You can't see the end of the lane. So if the lane hits it, you know, if the snow takes it off, you wouldn't even see it sometimes. It's dark, you're not going to see it. Now, Tom, not to put you on the spot, but getting back to the closure of that bridge, is there someone that you could call up to see? I mean, is that something that's in our hands? Is it?
It's a bridge on Route 32. And,
Through way over there, 32 over there.
They just opened it up.
Those are replacements?
No, it's a
throughway
bridge.
Through way bridge. Mm-hmm. But they use the county road.
They detoured on Forest Road.
I would suggest making a request to the county executive to make a call to the thruway authority.
All right.
I believe he knows, you know, who, he knows who to call. And
okay, that sounds right. Yeah, I mean, there's a liaison to the UCTC.
Yeah, that's for the county also.
Okay. So,
she's got a new one.
Oh, no, you weren't there. Ed Pine was there. And Andrew. Sandra.
And Kevin, not to try to sound like, you know, wise right now, a week would be that bad of closure?
A week goes like this, but, you know,
yeah, if
we can avoid having it shut down, you know.
We're on 32.
The southern Black Hill.
It's 32 over the thruway.
Yeah.
Right where,
32 lots of us over this thruway in Rosendale.
You're right.
Does anybody have any old business?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Oh, wait.
All moved.
No, I just want to get on to our agenda, the conversation for next month. To resume the conversation about the sustainability checklist that we've been tossing around for a while.
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with Ken Cornell about that.
Yeah.
And it seems like there are benefits from having a checklist so that everybody's head is clear about what is and isn't covered, but actually formalizing it as a checklist that the DPW has to do can slow them down and give them desk time when they feel that they are generally hitting all of the checkpoint marks. So I suggested maybe we look at creating the checklist here so we can then ask the question if we think there might be a one of the things, and they can just answer it verbally. So if you're amenable to that, I would be happy to work maybe somebody from DPW. I think what we're thinking, you know, what I would think of in that would be the question of whether or not we've considered a complete streets design in something that doesn't end up with a complete street. Sketch, you know, plan for the work. What our complete streets policy is loose in that it asks for complete streets design to be considered with every project, new project or a rehab project, but not necessarily implemented. But the idea that if you include it in the design, maybe you get money for it the next time. So complete streets, the question of the different kinds of pavements that would lead towards permeable rather than impermeable surfaces where that's possible. And I guess, at least for me, it would be worth having a discussion of what other things might be on such a checklist so that we are asking for things that are relevant to us in terms of policies we've created. And maybe you have other ideas of what you thought should be on such a checklist. But it seems like in the design process, most of the engineering covers you know, whether it's going to have adequate site distances, whether it's going to affect an existing sidewalk. So I guess it sounds like the right idea, but I wasn't sure that just giving the task to DPW that they know what we're looking for. And so maybe some further conversation so we get something.
Well, that's what I was suggesting, is that we bring this topic back up. We'll have this, we'll have the list of the sustainability resolutions and some maybe even be laws that have been passed, and we'll see what's relevant. I just at this point and unprepared, but you know, I didn't want to go into a deep discussion tonight, and it may well be that we want to sit down with a few people outside of DPW and Public Works, and then come back with some recommendations. We put some work into it last year. Jay Mahler went through all of the previous, went back quite a few years to put everything in one place. And what I was trying to get away from is feeling like it's always our responsibility to ask about, the various, whether it's pervious paving or whether it's energy efficiency and energy retrofits, if a building is being retrofitted. I was hoping to create something where DPW would let us know proactively that they've looked at the various relevant. And I know that a lot of times with planning, it also involves Department of Environment, and that there is a system in place to try and ensure compliance. But having served on the committee for a while, I feel like I'm always sort of on the lookout for compliance, and it's a little bit spotty. But if either we have a list, we should all have the same list, how we implement that and how we have that conversation moving forward, I think we should be discussing. And if it makes sense to discuss it, outside of the formal committee and bring back a recommendation, I'm willing to do that too. I want to get it more organized. That's my thinking.
Okay. I believe we had a motion to adjourn.
Yep.
Legislator Nolan, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Tom, Joe, Kim.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.